Prison crisis. Jeff Smith is a former Missouri state senator, now professor at New School here in New York. That does it for the broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Nermeen Sheikh. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hello, you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook 90.1 megahertz on your FM dial. We're also streaming at WUSB.FM on the internet. You can check our archives out and schedules and playlists and everything else. Thanks for tuning in. It's 6:02. It's now time for Off the Wall. Okay. Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle. Hope you're fantastic this evening.
And
tonight I'm joined by
Emmanuel. Is this microphone working?
It's a good question. We've got a fresh new microphone in the studio.
Always a good thing.
Oh, hey.
Okay. Yeah, it's a swaying microphone. I guess this is a new thing in the broadcast world. It's, you know, like a bird feeder, how it hangs down from a tree and sways with the wind. This is hanging down from a pole and sways in the wind. So that's why sometimes you'll hear me and sometimes I'll be close and sometimes I'll be far away.
Yeah, it's actually mounted by the cable.
It's mounted by the cable. You would think that wouldn't be a good idea, but, you know, I'm always being proven wrong, so...
Isn't that appropriate for a boxing ring or something? Shouldn't you be reffing a big fight or something?
You know, that might be what saves us, is a boxing ring. We could have competitions.
Indeed we could.
Well, am I going through both channels? I hate to always talk about technical things, but...
Look, I can't hear myself, so you want to talk technical. Yeah.
Why was it we could hear ourselves before we went on the air, as soon as we turned it on?
I don't think we actually heard the mics being used and test the...
I heard Amy Goodman, no problem. She comes through fine.
Okay, I can wiggle your...
Yeah, if you wiggle, it's definitely not going to...
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, it's going back and forth.
You need a paperclip.
You know, between this and the other radio station, it's a gamble as to which is going to be the biggest disaster.
I put a sunflower seed in there.
Is there a paperclip in there now?
Sunflower seed shell, yeah.
Just happened to be lying around. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. I probably could use a little more volume. And maybe, yeah, not touch that. Okay. That's better. Better now. Folks, this isn't a joke. I mean, it might sound funny. Might sound like we're incompetent. We're not. We know what we're doing. It's just that the stuff's not maintained. The stuff is not... not kept up to date. And I got to read this. I got to read this story here, if I can be heard. I think I can be at the moment. This was something that was in Newsday on Sunday. I'm just going to read a couple of paragraphs. It goes on for a very, very long time. And Kyle, I'd like you to listen to this. Well, please don't play with my microphone while I'm talking, because you're just going to cut me out.
Oh, you sound good.
Thank you. So let's stay away from it, and I'll keep sounding good. Look at what it's doing to me. It's making me all upset at everything. Okay, here's the story.
Yes.
And you should listen to this as well.
I'm listening.
From the moment he first set foot on Stony Brook's campus to take over as athletic director in May of 2014 because of the scandal that drove out the guy before him.
Which, oh, yeah, we all remember that.
Remember that? There was basically a sexual harassment thing. I don't even remember the guy's name. It was in the newspaper for a day, and then it was gone.
No kidding.
And
wow.
If this was someplace else, they would be talking about it forever. Whatever, you know? They bought the guy out with some huge amount of money, basically. He's getting paid right now for not working.
Was he harassed upon, or
no,
was he the harasser?
Allegedly, there's a lot of alleges here, allegedly harassed somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And was said, okay, you can't work here anymore, but here's 3 years of salary for you.
Right.
And go have fun.
Wow. It
doesn't seem like a bad deal.
Uh-huh.
Harass somebody, you get a reward.
Yeah.
Whatever. That story's forgotten. Now we got the new guy, who I hope isn't harassing anybody. Sean Helbron. Welcome, yes. But he said his vision was to build a football program powerful enough to drive the fundraising necessary to put the New York State school, that's us, with the funny name. Wait a minute. New York State School with the funny name on the major college athletic map. What's funny about our name?
I don't think it's funny. There's nothing funny about
Stony Brook. Who called us funny? Did he call us funny? Did Newsday call us funny? Stony Brook's funny? What's funny about Stony Brook? I guess that's funny to somebody who's never seen a Stony Brook, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, the joke's on you. We don't even have one. So.
Yeah, at least it's not Babbling Brook or something.
That's a funny name. Anyway, continuing.
Yeah, go on.
Exactly 1 year later, Helbron unveiled his 5-year program titled Together We Transform to initial TWT, or called TWIT for short, to accomplish that goal. It came with a variety of new initiatives intended to build a big-time college football culture on Long Island, because that's what we really need in Long Island, is a big-time college football scene.
Big-time college football.
You see everything else is taken care of. That's what we're lacking in. Everybody's employed. Houses are great. The taxes are down. You know, expenses aren't too high. What are we missing? College football. We need that. We need more college football. We need that scene. And Stony Brook, come on, Stony Brook, for God's sake. You got nothing. You got nothing here. You don't have your science. You don't have your math. You don't have your health science center and your hospital. You need football is what you need to be successful.
I just want to be like the UW.
You're going to say a word like that. You got to explain it.
University of Washington.
That's how cool people say it in Washington. They call it UW.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's true because these schools are in a big competition to be seen, and you're not seen on that level. I mean, are there 30,000 students that go to Stony Brook? We've talked about this.
I believe so.
Yeah, so it's about the same size as because enrollment at University of Washington.
It was like 20,000, and then it went up, and then there's a bunch that never leave. They stay around.
Right.
So it goes up a little bit every
so
year.
So when you think of Stony Brook, you think of, like, the Wong Center, you know, and the Stony Brook Film Festival and WUSB. That's it. But when you think of the University of Washington, whoa, you know.
Wait, what do you mean, whoa?
Yeah.
What do you
it's
mean,
that big.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's that big. Big as what? A planet? What? How big is it? What could it have that we don't have?
Yeah. And it's that hard to explain.
Apparently. Especially if you're from Washington, apparently.
But it's the truth. I mean, the school would like to be that big, right? And that's what they're
we
doing to the program.
Are
they're,
that.
They're,
we are
a growing
big school. We
right.
are we are huge in sciences. We are people come from all over the world. If there was another planet we could travel to, they'd be coming from that planet to come here as well. This place has draw already.
Yeah, everywhere but where it counts.
College football? Look, first
you
of
said
all,
it.
First
you
of
said
all,
it.
We already have college football and it's pretty good. It's good enough. How good do you want to make it? Do you want the Rose Bowl to be here?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want that.
Well, it would.
Enough.
That's a start. That is a start. You could do that, Stony Brook. Bring the Rose Bowl here. The why not?
You know, go outside and make a band. There's a bunch of people outside, by the way, waving red flags outside the union. It's either some kind of pep rally or a communist rally. I'm not sure which. It's just red flags, and there's people waving them.
It's just
and
like
nobody's concerned.
It's like the Yulia Tymoshenko protesters.
Is she over here now?
No, actually, they're out there to at least make it appear as though the football team is as big as it should be. Okay, so go on.
All right. Well, anyway, so the TWIT program, Together We Transform, to accomplish that goal, the goal of putting the New York State school with a funny name on the major college athletic map, as if we're not there already. Came with a variety of new initiatives intended to build a big-time college football culture, as I mentioned, on Long Island, that might begin to generate the revenue necessary
big
to
time.
Turn the artist rendering of a double-decked stadium seating 25,000 and an indoor practice facility into actual brick and mortar. For God's sake, people, we have a stadium. You spent a lot of time and money building that stadium. It's there now. You can see it from the space station because when they light that thing up, it blocks out the sun. All right, we just built yet another athletic building. Athletic building is going up everywhere. It's like dandelions, you know. You throw a stone, there's an athletic building popping up next to there. Meanwhile, this place, we don't even know if we're going to have a home in a year. We cannot get straight answers as to where the station is moving. They want to put us into basements. They want to put us into places where there's no oxygen. It's horrible. And they're talking about building new buildings, building a stadium on top of a stadium. You know, I saw this earlier. I equated it on our mailing list
yes.
to the slums of Rio. You know, Rio,
oh,
the
favela.
The richest
yeah.
people in the world come there.
Of course they do.
But you also have the worst slums in the world. Now, I'm not saying this place is a slum, but it does get pretty hot. Nothing works. And a lot of people in the slums work. I
and there's
much.
The cartels.
Well, we don't have that problem anymore. But right now, for instance, our computer's kaput because I don't know why, but there's certainly no support that we get from IT around here to keep that thing up because we buy it ourselves. I don't even mean our budget. I mean we go out and pay money as individuals ourselves to get computers running to stream and to archive and things like that.
You think IT would be a champion for a resource like the station?
Before I go too far here, IT does support us, and there are great people there, but it's not what you think. It's not what you think where we have modern equipment around us and it's all run by the university. No, we have to do that ourselves, and that means cobbling together various bits of hardware and software. You're working on projects now, in fact.
Yeah. I mean, that support, it's kind of like the Coast Guard. I mean, you could be out there in your dinghy and send up flares, and they'll see you, and they might advise you, but you could also just sink in the ocean.
Do we have a Coast Guard around here?
Well, I was likening the IT people like that. I mean, they have a lot of departments in the ocean that is Stony Brook.
Could I fire a flare and somebody from IT will come over?
They might come give you an IP or, you know, look at your packets and tell you what's wrong. Some, you know, they're there, but they have a huge coastline to kind of...
Point being.
And we're in a very... Our boat isn't quite ship seaworthy.
You do not have football players in one of the many athletic buildings or one of the multiple stadiums we're apparently going to have going out there buying computers for the football team.
No.
No. In fact, you know, every member of the athletic department is getting an iPad for nothing. They're just handing out iPads to everybody.
Wow.
I don't want an iPad. Don't give me an iPad. Don't even make a gesture to me that, well, okay, Emmanuel, we'll give you an iPad, and that way you'll be equal to a football player. I don't want that. I don't need that.
Well, it's
I just want some sanity to exist.
It's part of the uniform. In fairness, it is for protective purposes. They're just going to have iPads for shoulder and you know, body armor and then just go and slam into each other. You know, they are doing that well.
Yeah. They are doing that well. I think people need to realize when they're doing well, when they can do things like that, but it's not good enough. Okay, price tag for what this guy is talking about with his Twit program?
Okay, yeah, it's probably close to the radio station, so let me think.
You're not fooling anybody because you know what the number is. You saw that. I held this up before.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
$100,000. Isn't that outrageous? Maybe. That's not the number. Try 10 times that.
Okay, a million?
Yes, $1 million.
Okay, yeah. That's
outrageous.
That's a lot
that's
more like what
outrageous.
We don't have for
I know.
A budget.
Can you imagine what we could do with even a fraction of that? Wait, that's not right either. It's not $1 million. It's $10 million, folks. It's $10 million. $10 million are just going to raise out of nothing. People are going to contribute because the football team needs – that's just football. It's not even basketball.
Because their children, their children's children.
Oh, my God. You mean $10 million isn't it either? It's $100 million. They're going to raise – you know what? Why not just make up names and say quadzillion or something? Seriously, because you'll probably get it. Everybody supports sports and throws money at them. $100 million. That's the final one, folks. I'm not going to go any higher than that.
The chariots and the drop-off and the concessions and the – oh, my God. Are they going to have a light rail system?
It's not like they don't charge people to go do things anyway. You know, they have an income source. But
yeah, are the concessions free?
The number we use internally is we need to raise $100 million, said Helbron. It's a lot of money. Okay. I'm glad you know that. That can come from the state. It can come from private donors, but that's the reality. Let me tell you the reality, Helbron. I like calling people by their last names. If it comes from the state, that means the state's not spending money on something else, like a road, perhaps, or, you know, maybe a microphone that doesn't dangle from the ceiling. How about that? You know, just, you know, our needs are so paltry. It's pathetic. If you took, I'm not good at math, but if you took 1/1,000th of a percent of whatever money they're throwing around here, realistically, and just threw that our way, we'd probably have modern facilities. That number might not be correct. That might wind up to be 10 cents. I don't know. But the point is, we are a treasure of the university. I love this place. Don't get me wrong. I love this university. I went here. I'm an alumni. I'm proud every time something cool happens here. I was happy when they fixed your hand last week, you know, because they did such a good job.
Definitely. They're affiliated with Stony Brook, and absolutely. I think even there was some people that played sports that were there.
Uh-huh. And, I am proud of the sports teams, too. Don't get me wrong. But, you know.
Yeah, lacrosse. Come on now.
Lacrosse, badminton. No, even football and even, basketball and all kinds of things. It's cool, but it shouldn't eclipse everything else. That's where I have a problem with it.
To the tune of $100 million for anything.
It's just. When you expect people to donate that kind of money, they're not donating to other things that are also important. And I just maintain that football is not the most important thing here. And I don't want to put ourselves front and center, but this is a pretty valuable place. You're listening to us, aren't you? We're a radio station. We broadcast and we're on the internet, although we're not on the internet today because of all the problems. But not every university has a radio station. Every university has a football team. Actually, I think NYU doesn't have a football team.
Good for them.
Good for them. Yeah, why not? But they do have a radio station.
Oh, yeah.
But not every university has a radio station.
And the sports programs don't – they are not anchors for institutions like radio stations on campus. Uh-huh. I mean, it's the football program for the University of Washington, as storied and big and successful as it has been, it did not create KUOW.
That's the radio station out there.
Yeah, and it did not create the medicine and other research sciences programs at the University of Washington.
Are you sure about
same
that?
Same thing. I mean, did football have anything to do with Stony Brook Hospital?
I thought football money built that hospital.
See?
Do I have that wrong?
That sounds right.
Did a fact checker look into
I'm
that?
I'm pretty sure it has nothing to do with it.
Wasn't it originally a stadium and then they turned it into a hospital? Because so many people were getting injured in it and they just needed...
Well, no, the anesthesia ward had to make everyone, subdued and unconscious to let everything happen with the sports department. That's how it started.
Folks, I'm not begrudging sports or people that want to raise a lot of money, but, you know, let's put it into perspective. You have this huge, massive piece in Sunday Newsday about how this guy wants to raise $100 million just for football and to build another stadium on a campus that already has a stadium. And plenty of football.
And by the
way, and so many other things are suffering, specifically this place, which I think is one of the crown jewels of the university. And I know a lot of people don't get that. A lot of people don't listen to radio anymore. But you know what? They're the people that never did listen to radio in the first place. They might have had it on in the background. They don't see it as anything more than a music box. But people that listen to radio, listen to talk and call in and take part in things, we're seeing more people like that than ever before. We have more students involved than we did years ago. We still have our vinyl library, which, again, you talk about treasures. This is something that, you know, I talk to people that are realistic, and they say, yeah, you gotta get rid of that. You can't hold on to that. It's just wasting space. History is something that, yes, you do preserve. People come, they see that, they're blown away, they want to get involved because you forget history and you have nothing really to shoot for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's important work to be done, and those are the things people forget about when they're thinking of a resource like a station. And I think what we're talking about is equity with across – studies, mm-hmm. Concentrations, special interest, special activities, student run things like a radio station or journalism programs, you know, they're a more academic bent. This is sort of mixed. I mean, this has a lot of parallels and translates really well to people who are studying communications, but it's also cultural. It has stuff to do with music and campus life and so on and so forth.
I was here back in the 70s. 1970s, before you were born.
Yeah.
Playing with the equipment that you're now running. Playing with the very, I'm not kidding, the very same equipment right here, same place, has not moved, has not been upgraded, has lots of things can't be fixed because it's outdated. No money to buy new equipment, no money to upgrade, and apparently no money to get us into a decent facility where such things are possible.
Yeah.
Maybe that's misinformation. Maybe we'll have a great state-of-the-art space, which we deserve, which the university deserves, which our listeners deserve.
And
it's just as a slap in the face to see something like this, where all this money is being thrown around, you know, for programs that are already doing quite well and have the latest equipment, are giving away iPads and things like that. Folks, radio is relevant. It's important. And especially a place like this where we have so many interesting people to talk to and to document. And sports is a big part of that as well. We've been covering sports on this station since the beginning. We helped build the athletic department, get it attention, get people to realize it's out there, and train a lot of good broadcasters at the same time. So it's just, it kind of gets me a little bit to see something like this.
Yeah, and I don't know. I have trouble with it. I mean, you see a lot. I think in putting so much emphasis on a program that is is a game,
mm-hmm.
and is actually getting a lot of attention as far as injuries, right? And
yes.
I think the amount of interest in with young people like getting interested in football. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they have numbers on that. Maybe it's more popular than ever. But I think there are a lot of other sports that are gaining popularity too.
I understand people getting injured in football. They're just, you know, they're running full speed head first into each other. But the human body is meant to take that.
Right.
Right? I mean, isn't that why God gave us heads?
Yeah.
That are harder than our feet.
Yeah. It explains a lot of people.
You don't sound convinced.
No.
Okay, well, yeah, it's there's that, and it's a topic that we talk about as well.
So dumping money into that and become it, so you can be some kind of flagship, you know, on the island, and I don't know. I think you can get as much respect. There are as many interesting, like you said, interesting people and interesting things, departments, sciences, mm-hmm. to name a few. I mean, the variety of things you can find on campus at Stony Brook really do run the gamut, the spectrum, and
that's what kept me
it's
here.
It's not just about athletics, and I mean everybody should have a chance, and it just is. It's tough to see that compared with the day-to-day things that a lot of the people here have to face.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteering, I mean, I'm volunteering, you mentioned, just to work on archiving so that we can have a modern archive for the future, and a part of that is the vinyl and
mm-hmm.
and moving things around, and you make a very good point. It's the draw, and one of the amazing things about this station is our collection. We have an incredible vinyl library, and really featuring that, being proud of that, is important, and it is part of the wow factor when you do get to come and visit a place like this. And I mean, when we visit other stations, that's some of the things that we notice. How well is their music curated and taken care of? And
it's like going into history. It's like going to a museum. You walk into that record library, and you know, kids react the same way, which you wouldn't expect. But kids love things like old cameras and old records and various things like that, and they're blown away by just the extent of it. They look at albums. They see what an album is, because we don't really appreciate that anymore. Even CDs. People don't get music on CDs. They just get downloads.
Yeah.
It's different. Whether or not it's better, that's a different discussion. But it was an experience that so many people shared as a part of our history. And yet, the prevailing attitude is, it's useless now. Just throw it away.
Yeah.
We don't believe in things like that. We believe in preserving it and studying it, learning from it. But we can't do that with that sort of attitude where, well, no space for this. We got to, you know, either put it someplace where nobody can have access or just trash it altogether. That's not what we're about, and hopefully never will be.
Yeah. So I'd like to see rivaling articles and support for the station in the newspaper for our $100 million campaign.
You know,
even if it's just in name.
I'm not saying we couldn't use $100 million, but that's not really necessary. We don't need all the money, folks. We don't need all of it. And we're not even asking for it right now. This might sound like a fundraiser. But we do need to be taken seriously. Otherwise, yeah, bad things do happen where you can't hear us anymore. Right now you can't hear us on the internet because equipment failure. Maybe the transmitter will be the next equipment failure. Maybe somebody will say, what's the point of even turning it back on? Because who listens to radio anymore?
Everybody streams it, except for the days that the streaming
equipment
isn't.
Yeah, look, here, I got an iPod here. It has all the music that I hear on WUSB. What's the difference? There are people who believe things like that, and
uh-huh.
it's sad. And, you know, we're here to counter that with all kinds of alternative programming that is essential, that always will be essential. The commercial stations, yeah, you know what? You can do without those because they're not doing anything different. They're playing advertisements and playing the music is probably on your iPod anyway. So, yeah, what do you need that for? But non-commercial, that's the kind of radio that you actually turn up, listen to, shout at perhaps, and take part in. And that's what we want to preserve here. And to do that requires a commitment. It requires people to take us seriously. And
sustained attention. I mean, when we have improvement things, when we have fundraisers, when we have activities outside of the station, and when there are discussions, big and small, that affect the station,
mm-hmm.
We need to be able to participate and have other people be advocates as well.
Tell you what, folks, if you want to be part of this conversation, there's two things you can do. You can write to us, email otw@2600.com. On the other radio show in New York that airs on Wednesday, we were talking about how few people send email these days. And it's true. We think it's because nobody's listening and nobody cares that email that we receive has plummeted over the years. But you know what? It's true everywhere. It's a trend. People tweet now. They like. They they favor it. They do things like that. Things that require a click or maybe just typing a few things on their phone. But fewer people send email. We got a lot of email. We got a lot of people sending email saying, I'm here. I'm listening. So habits do change, and some for the better, some for the worse. But we do love to hear from our listeners. So if you're out there and you haven't written to us, please write to us, otw@2600.com. Especially want to hear from new people out there.
Yeah.
The other thing you can do is call us. I know we're not on the internet, which means that you can't call us from Bulgaria, apparently. But you can call us from Setauket or from Stony Brook or from Rocky Point or from I'm not going to name every town like Amy does, but
Brookhaven.
Yeah, Brookhaven is actually a village and a town.
It is.
Can you name the towns?
It's one of the largest, and it spans the north and south shore of the island.
Kyle found the Wikipedia page on Brookhaven Township and knows all these facts now that I don't know about the town I grew up in.
It's massive.
It is the only town, apparently, that spans both shores. So
and they have their own particle accelerator.
Yeah, but it's not really like you know, the mayor is running that. It's Brookhaven National Labs is running that.
Yeah, isn't it a drive-through?
But yeah, it's a cool place.
Stony Brook has particle accelerators.
We do, and I'm proud of that as well.
Yeah, you should be.
We have all kinds of cool things here.
And we can talk about that on the radio. Try talking about particle accelerators on the football field.
I think there are some debates that do go on in practice, but
there is physics.
No, they're all students. Yeah. I have a hard time understanding that. Like, these guys are really good at football. When do they have time to go to, like, you know, English 101 or something, you know? Everyone has to take that, by the way. It's not just...
Maybe we'll do a football player special, and we can have the whole special team in, and they can discuss things.
In our sports-themed program today, which wasn't intended to be that way, we do have our own sports update.
Because, yeah, actually.
And I'm surprised people haven't already been asking. Mm-hmm. As you know, we are this year following the Europa League. Last year, we followed the FA Cup in England.
Now, is a Europa League an extension of FA, or it's totally different? Do you get FA teams in Europa? Isn't that what they were working to?
Let me try to explain this, because it's complicated, and I make it even more complicated the way I explain it. But basically, yeah, the Europa League is sort of an extension of the FA Cup in that every country in Europe has the equivalent of an FA Cup, FA being Football Association. And, of course, we're talking about soccer, not football.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you have winners of various competitions that wind up in the Europa League as a result of winning the competition in their respective country. Now, it's not just one winner. It's basically teams that finish anywhere from, I think, first to seventh place in the league. And then you have winners of various cups as well, the FA Cup being the biggest one. Now, the funny thing is, last year we followed FA Cup. We started with Nuttington Griff, which was a 10th division team that had no chance whatsoever of winning. But almost hundreds and hundreds of teams were playing.
Yeah.
And it was
exciting. It was really good.
But in the end, Arsenal won. They're right up there at the top of the league anyway.
Yeah.
The reason why we didn't follow Arsenal into the Europa League is because even though they won the FA Cup, they also placed highly enough in the league to go right to the Champions League. Champions League is like the big brother of Europa League.
Got it. Now, okay.
And what's interesting, too, is that you'll notice a lot of the same teams win the Champions League and win the Europa League, never in the same year. But you'll notice, okay, if Arsenal doesn't win Champions League, you know, one year they might win the Europa League, another one. Mm-hmm. Reason for that is there's a drop-down period. Champions League teams that are highly placed that lose drop down into the Europa League later on. And some already have, actually.
So it's not forever that they could just they don't get to stay there necessarily. It's not for certain that they'll continue. They must maintain their status to stay in that league and let alone bracket.
Europa League is if you lose in the Europa League, you're out. That's
okay,
it.
Right.
There's no place else for you to go except back home and play your domestic games.
Club games.
It's like really cool because you've got this international flavor that you don't have in any sport here.
Yep.
Where imagine, you know, the Mets are playing at home, but on every on the Thursday, they're also playing an international competition, which continues throughout the entire season and culminates in a championship.
Okay.
So that's how complicated it gets over there. And every country is involved in some way or another. And there's two of them going on, not just one. There's Europa League, Champions League, both taking place at the same time with different teams. And as I said, as the competition goes on, some teams from the Champions League who lose drop down into the Europa League. So anyway, Arsenal won the FA Cup in England last year, and we didn't follow them into Europa League because they made it into Champions League because of their division standing. And the team that we were following that was playing Arsenal in the final, Aston Villa, because of a rule change, they didn't qualify for Europa League either. The team that did qualify because of Arsenal's victory was the last qualifying team in the Premier League in England, which was Southampton. So we're following Southampton. We've been following them. They had a bye through the first qualifying round. We followed them through the second and I believe the third qualifying round. And I don't know if they basically each match up till now is played in two parts, one team's home field and then the other team's home field, and they add up the score. And that's called aggregate, and that's the team that goes through.
Okay.
The first matches they played were against a Dutch team.
Okay.
And yep. That was actually the second qualifying round. The first qualifying round they didn't have to play in. They were good enough to skip that. The third qualifying round is the team from Denmark, whose name I can't pronounce. You want to try that, Kyle? While I look up the results because I don't know what they are myself.
FC Midland.
Is that really how you say it? Because it looks so much more complex than
M-I-D-T-J-Y, mid-D-J. The D-T-J, it's just like, I don't know. There's maybe a little Y in there. I mean, the Y is after the J, but I just say it quickly, so it's Midland. If it's Midland, I mean, it's a funny spelling of Midland. It's just got a T and a J and a Y, so Midland. I don't know.
Okay. I'm FC having trouble with the computer here because this keyboard has all different keys. What key is for searching inside the browser? Is it Control? Is it Alt? Is it Apple? Is it Mac? Is it
Control F?
Windows?
Oh, wait, no. Yeah, what is it?
Windows keyboard on a Mac?
PC keyboard plugged into a Mac.
So do I use the window? If I hit a window key on a Mac, doesn't that
You can try that, but it might be like Control Shift.
Oh, that worked.
Shift. Oh, did it work?
Okay. That worked. Oh, I can't believe that worked. Okay.
That's...
Why do we have – this is the kind of thing I'm talking about, folks. You can bet in the athletic department they don't have Macs with window keyboards.
Things are cobbled together. Things are mismatched. And when things break, they're jettisoned quickly. And if they're broken –
And the same goes for the players, folks. Just remember that.
Broken and partially working, they can stay and continue to support the rest of the team, even in their dilapidated, busted state. The bezel on our computer is completely, like, popped out. I don't know. Maybe that's a remnant of this computer
being worked on. I don't
even know what that is. It's like the glass cover. So it's popped out, and there's... I guess the bezel is what I can see, but...
there's no glass on the monitor?
Right. Well, we're looking at the screen itself.
I can, like, touch the internet?
You can touch the LCD. There's no glass over it. The Mac is looking very bare.
Oh, wow. I'm holding on to the Firefox icon. Wow. It's round, and it's squishy.
Don't drop it.
Oh, wow. I know you could do that.
Put it back.
All you do is take the glass off your monitor and that happens?
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. You know, I was wrong about something. Southampton skipped the two first qualifying rounds. They skipped the first round and they skipped the second round. So it was the third round that they played the Dutch team and handily defeated them. Okay. So now we're going to find out if they won. They tied the first game of the match against the Danish team, whose name again, Kyle, is what?
FC Midland.
Okay. I think it was a 1-1 tie, but that was at home in Southampton. They had to go to Denmark to play the second half of that, and in a moment, I will tell you what happened, and I'll learn what happened.
Central Jutland.
Okay. Jutland. I have the results, Kyle.
Yes.
They lost 1-0, which means the aggregate score was 2-1 against Southampton. Folks, we are no longer following Southampton. Now we are following the team that defeated them. So, wait a minute. Don't crumple that up. That's our team.
Oh.
That's our new team.
Okay. No. Yeah, we're following them.
Boy, no wonder the athletic department hates us. Crumpling up pieces of paper with teams on. Okay, so say the name and sing the anthem now.
Okay. It's FC Midland.
All right. And
they're the Wolves.
They're the wolves.
Yeah, also known as Central Jutland. That's like J-U-T. The wolves. The Ulven. Ulven. Yeah.
Okay, well, I have to now search for who they're going to play next. Could you please spell their name so that I can search? Because I can't see it from here.
Sure. MIDTJYLLAND.
Of course. I should have known that. All right. And let's see what lies ahead for our friends over there. Okay. Now we move to the group stage. So what this is sort of like a little mini World Cup that they got going on now. And I see that we are in Group D, and we have three other teams that we have to play.
Napoli. I'm assuming that's Italy.
Napoli, Italy, yes.
Club Bruges. That sounds German.
That sounds Belgian to me. Maybe.
Well, oh, you're right. That's the German, Belgian flag.
Well, let's make Bruges. Sure. Yeah, let's make sure. Yep. I'm clicking on them to see where they are. And
Bruges, Belgium.
Okay.
Yeah.
Napoli, yes, is the other team.
And Poland, Liga Warsaw.
Liga Warsaw. Okay.
What a cool little bracket. So we're in Group E now.
Yes.
Everybody, if you're following along at home.
You know what bothers me about this, though?
What?
For some reason, the two teams, Napoli and Club Bruges, are listed in green.
Yeah,
and it says next to that, advanced to knockout phase, as if they already won the group, and nobody has played any games yet.
Maybe they play first.
Well, I think they're up there because of their overall standing. And our team, who I'm going to have to learn how to pronounce, our team is dead last.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know how this is going to work, because this isn't us playing another team. It's us playing three other teams. So we have to figure out what team we're going to wind up following, if it's the first place team or the second place team.
Hmm.
Okay, we'll figure that out. Okay, so we just learned that.
I'm okay with the Belgian team.
Yeah, but we can't just follow them because we want to follow them. Two teams are going to make it out of Group D.
Oh, okay.
And two teams are going to go home.
Okay.
And we have to follow a team, and I'm not sure which one we're going to follow. If it's because we're going to play all three other teams.
I see. Okay.
Maybe the team that scores the most goals against us. They make all these rules up in UEFA and FIFA as far as how to settle ties. So maybe we'll make up rules too and say
that
if they score more away goals against us, then that means that we're going to follow that team instead because they're the victor more so than anybody else.
Right. No, that's simple enough. That works.
Okay. Hey, this was the week that Mount McKinley was going to officially announce to be renamed Denali.
Mm.
You hear about this?
I did. I saw a little clip this morning when I was drinking some tea. Actually, I lied. I didn't drink any tea.
Why would you lie about that? What? Do you think we wouldn't believe you if you weren't drinking tea? Well, anyway, yeah.
It was juice. Okay.
Plus, it's a fact. This actually did happen. The Obama administration will change the name of North America. Damn printer. North America's, that should be an S over there.
Largest.
Tallest mountain peak. From Mount McKinley to Denali.
Denali.
The White House said Sunday. Denali is the name of
a Chevy truck, an SUV.
I thought it was the name of Obama's hometown in Indonesia.
In Kenya.
He came from both somehow.
Yes.
And because he's not American and he's wants to rename things one by one.
Yes.
No, but seriously, we heard about this when we were in Alaska,
mm-hmm.
because that's where Mount McKinley is.
Did you know that? Yeah. Well, Obama's in Alaska right now, too.
Because that's where Mount McKinley is. He went to the mountain.
That's right.
That's what you do. The mountain's not going to come to you.
Yeah, well, you start changing a name on a mountain, you better go and explain it.
Well, this is a symbolic gesture to Alaska natives. They're in the first division of the
Moose Cup.
Okay, he might be talking about real Alaska natives, not the team.
Oh.
I'm not sure. It wasn't clear in the story, but it's a symbolic gesture to them. It's also a symbolic gesture to the rest of us who think that we should name mountains after people that weren't very nice in the first place.
Yeah.
And had nothing. And I don't think McKinley ever made it to Alaska. Did he never even went there. I heard something about this. There were people from Ohio who were really upset at this because McKinley's from Ohio. So why in God's name did they get a say over this? Instead of the people that actually are from there.
just goes to show people you cannot be too proud. You cannot be too proud of anything. No matter where whatever you're proud of comes up in conversation, you just can't be too proud. You cling to that. You hang on to that. You grip that tight as you can. And don't you let go.
Yes. So I think that's historic. I think that's great that changes like this are being made. And again, not enough acknowledgement for all the positive things that have happened in this administration. Yes, I know about all the negative things, but we got to focus on the positive things as well, because that's how we're moving forward. You know, if we had gone with somebody else from the other side, none of this would have happened. None of this would have happened. We'd probably still be involved overseas in more ways than we are now. And we need to keep going in that direction. Fix other things too, but acknowledge the things that have been gotten right.
I watched Weekend Journal on C-SPAN this morning, and they often put a question to the callers asking about what the gauge, you know, how they're happy they are with the country. And I noticed one of the responses a lot of people that were calling in were saying was, they voted for Obama twice. But they're not satisfied.
They're not going to vote for him a third
time?
They're
not satisfied with the way the country is. No, they're not going to vote for him a third time. They would vote for him a third time. But they made the distinction of why they're upset at the way the country is. And they feel that the obstruction by the Republicans and the way his administration has been thwarted is why they're upset, and they spoke to why what he was coming into as far as being in charge of the country post Bush and all of the third Gulf War, and it resonated. It made a lot of sense. It made me realize. I mean, I was concerned every time they would say that on a call. Next caller would say, "Oh, I voted this way, and I'm not too satisfied, but this is why." And it was not because they're upset at what he did. Mm-hmm. They're upset at him not being able to do more the folks that prevented it. And I think that's great. And I think that it really does speak to the frustration. They're upset with this administration. They're upset with the way this has gone, but not because of the individual. Because of what he was fighting and the system, the way they were creating, the structure of the system that he had to jump in and make something of and with.
It's not to say that he's not getting things wrong, but there is so much here, you know, the hand that you're dealt really dictates what kind of game you play.
Yeah, and people want to criticize completely out of context. Mm-hmm. And that's just wrong.
Yeah, and you can't just snap your fingers and fix all kinds of problems that were started well before you ever got into power in the first place. Good example, closing Guantanamo Bay. You know, that's one of the things that Obama promised to do at the beginning. And right away, he was accused of lying because that didn't happen. People forget that Congress blocked it. And while he might be able to issue some kind of a decree and make it happen anyway, politically, that would be suicide and would meet lots of public opposition as well. You know, point the finger at him for things he's actually responsible for, but not for something like that, where he obviously made his intentions known and they were thwarted. Look, we're talking to Cuba again. The American flag is up in Cuba, where they have an embassy again. That's great. That should be celebrated. So many other things should be celebrated as well.
Yeah, he's, as we speak, acknowledging climate change with a lot of other people in a moment that you could almost, it's almost contradictory, because you could look at some of the oil drilling and the exploration and the direction that is going as far as his administration allowing Shell to drill and so on and so forth.
Yes.
But at least he's acknowledging that he's not denying that those practices are dying and contribute to global climate change.
And any politician.
Yes, he's allowing it to occur and whatever, letting permits occur. One way or another, they are happening, but he's actually with the right, the scientific, the real learned thinking on the issue.
Any politician is going to have these contradictions, and we don't know exactly why. There's all kinds of interests that must be satisfied, all kinds of favors that must be returned.
Yeah.
It's a stinking business.
Awful.
It's horrible.
Well,
but I think, you know, we pick our battles and we acknowledge the forward momentum that we have, and I see us in a better place now on many fronts. And I you know, I'm tired of always having to say, obviously not in all, because that should go without saying, that there are many, many things that I disagree with, that we're going backwards on. But if you don't acknowledge the positive, you're going to wind up with one of those 10 buffoons that were at the Republican. No, it's more than that. The other ones,
there's
too.
A lot of them.
At the kids' table. Right. You'll get one of them, and they're still arguing about abortion, and they won't acknowledge climate change and all kinds of things like that are many steps backwards. And believe me, it'll make Obama seem like Karl Marx compared to them.
Yeah.
So, not that I want Karl Marx in power, but, you know, it's basically as far left as you can possibly go.
And people invest in the politics, invest in it like you would invest in any other part of your life that impacts you. And be in it for the actual politics of it, not just, okay, this is a presidential election, now I'm going to put, you know, my finger to the wind and, you know, try to come up with one, you know, whether I care one direction or one way or another. It is absolutely a process, and it goes one way, it goes the other way, it ebbs and flows, right? And I mean, I'm very new to it myself, but I'm looking, I think, at the entirety of it. You know, you've got to look at a broad kind of longer picture, and also the nuances, the things that you don't know are going on, and appreciate that it is an overall process.
My cruise ship
demands your participation.
My cruise ship analogy. I like that. I like my analogies. Yeah, but I like that one the most. Basically, you're steering a cruise ship. You can't steer it quickly, or you tip over. Takes time to reverse course or go in a completely different direction. And if you're not satisfied in the first few minutes, you're probably never going to be satisfied, because these things do take time. But I think on many fronts, we're moving in the right direction. And those that we're not moving in the right direction of, we focus on those without throwing everything away. That's what I live in fear of, is that we're just going to go back to the way things were because we're not 100% satisfied. We're only 60% satisfied.
Yeah. I mean, environmentalism is like a great area to look at, and that's something that comes to mind when I think about these things a lot, is because it can be a situation where you don't want anyone coming in and involving themselves if they've done any kind of conceding on a particular issue. And that just is not the way the world works. You can't handpick every perfect issue to go exactly the way you'd want it to go. But at the same time, the acknowledgement and people that are really studying, like understanding what's going on and taking an interest, I think, are important too. You know, you can't be blind to the issues.
Correct. Well,
are we going to try for phone calls?
No, because we're out of time.
Oh, we are, aren't we?
Yeah. Plus, we're not on the internet, so that wipes out a lot of our listeners right there.
Should I play the ID anyway?
Well, you should probably play the outro, because Finn's literally at the door.
Isn't he?
Breathing out there, and he's got an action-packed show beginning with. He's interviewing the entire football team of Stony Brook. They're out there with their helmets and uniforms, and they heard the whole show, so we have that to look forward to as well. Write to us, otw@2600.com. We want to hear what you have to say as well. Feel free to write a big, long email or a short email, whatever. Just, we want to hear your voices. Know you're out there. It does matter. And we'll be back next week with all kinds of other opinions and things like that. So for Off the Wall, it's Emmanuel.
And Kyle, thank you very, very much for listening tonight. And have a good evening.
Come with me into the great winter. Frozen sky no longer summer. we will see a different sunset. Where did Charlie be? Off the land. We will learn that we are one with God and universal man.
Then return with understanding to the world where we began.